The workshop mission is to address safety issues related to virtual and in-person meeting environments to help the ACA fellowship effectively address domineering behavior. A fellowship survey that we conducted back in autumn of 2020 resulted in domineering behavior as the number one concern of safety in meetings.
Okay, and the next slide. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to take a second to do some introductions of who we have here with us today. Our presenters, and very grateful for our tech hosts. We are members of the Meeting and Service Safety Subcommittee. And as Dove mentioned, domineering behavior was the number one concern that came from a survey. And we've spent several weeks meeting weekly to come up with this workshop that will have some takeaways that hopefully you're going to find what we call, safety
solutions
statements that might be used for such scenarios. So our presenters, those of us that have worked on it, I'm going to have each of us introduce ourselves briefly. We'll start with Alaska.
Hi, I'm Alaska.
Cheryl's with us from, you've probably seen her in Delegate Training Subcommittee, and she's pinch hitting, came in at the last minute to help us with one of the breakout rooms.
Thank you, Erin. Hi, I'm Cheryl. Very grateful to be here to help support this workshop this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Dove?
I'm Dove.
And Jeff?
Hi, my name is Jeff. Glad to be here.
And then we have some tech hosts here. I'll try to do things in alphabetical order. We have Alaska, who's one of our tech hosts, as well as our meeting member. And Brad is here for a little bit, I suppose.
Yay!
Our IT chair. And Justin. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to put up the second housekeeping slide just in case people are joining late and didn't get to see the first screen of that. While I take a little moment to do a little bit more hello. So you are probably here because you've experienced some sort of domineering behavior in a meeting or a business meeting or committee work. And that is unfortunate, part of the human experience, I suppose. And so one of the things as we were going through this workshop that we were also thinking about is in terms of domineering behavior, you know, how do we determine what is our perception of someone being domineering and what's real and what's, you know, our own stuff. How do we determine that? So at the end, we're going to talk a little bit more hopefully about that and maybe sort of like an inventory there. And so from there, the last thing I'll say is that this is the first, hopefully, in a series of the different things that came out in the survey as the top 3 to 5 concerns. So if you like this format, we'll probably try the same format where we're going to go into breakout groups and really have some nice interactions and then come back and share those interactions. So Dove is going to read our safety and self-care slide.
This is about domineering behavior in meetings. And so because of that, we would suggest self-safety and self-care suggestions that we can use during this workshop. The first one, choose curiosity over criticism. Asking questions, you know, what does that mean? What is that for? How do I apply that? Second, principles before personalities. And how does that apply to what you're hearing? Progress, not perfection. We're all progressing. We're all working this recovery program together. Service coming from love. People doing this workshop, it is an act of service and it is coming from love. We love our ability to have our meetings and therefore we feel committed to that. Halt. From hungry, lonely, angry, tired, transfer that to humility, acceptance, love, and tolerance. And then orientation to your own five senses, making sure to take self-care for you personally.
Thank you. The next thing that we're going to do is I'm going to put on my theater voice and I'm going to read a scenario. Then we're going to give you some instructions as you're going to be sent into breakout rooms, five different breakout rooms. The scenario will be presented again in the breakout room for you to refer to. And you're going to have some questions to go through about it and come up with some safety solution sort of statements. So remember, as Dove read those safety and self-care things as I go through this, if you start to feel a little too much like you're identifying with something here, use your five senses or try to be calm. As we did it ourselves, we were all going, oh. Okay, the scenario. Drew began the meeting as the COVID-19 pandemic started, using a personal Zoom account to get started. Drew had been an active ACA member for many years, and for this reason, newcomers and less active members would lean on Drew for answers. When members were present, after a few months of the meeting going seemingly smooth, they noticed a change to the format. In part, it now read, "Please be advised that anyone eating, moving around, or with continued background noise will be sent to a waiting room until they are able to come back without their distractions." Realizing this was not an agreed upon change, Jay raised a remote hand, but was not called upon. Because Jay considered this a timely point of order, Jay interrupted, asking for clarification on how this statement came to be. Adrian, a sponsee of Drew's, was chairing the meeting. Adrian did not answer the question, but continued reading the changed format. Jay, now agitated, asked again. Adrian responded that Jay could ask that question at a business meeting, but for now, they would continue with the meeting. Jay stated if a change were to be made, it needed to be a decision made at a business meeting instead of in private with only group officers, who, by the way, were all sponsees of Drew. Jay called for an immediate group conscience, at which point Drew chimed in that it was not Jay's meeting. Drew stated that as the meeting chairperson, they, along with group officers, made the decision for the good of the group, as members had mentioned being distracted. Another member, Jesse, spoke up saying they were feeling triggered and the disruption was preventing the meeting from continuing. Jesse, annoyed, noted that two newer members had just dropped off the call as a result. Adrian told Jay to bring this matter to a business meeting because this was becoming disruptive. Jesse asked that a business meeting be held at the close of the meeting. Drew mentioned that the officers were not all going to be present, so it would have to be at another time. Jay asked, "When is the next business meeting?" Adrian responded by saying that business meetings were held only if the group chair finds it necessary and advance notice would have to be given to all who would have wanted to attend. And he added that meanwhile, the revised format will stand. At this time, another member, Chris, said that because there was no vote for the new addition, it should not be read until after a business meeting. Adrian asked that Drew send Jay to a waiting room as this conversation was disruptive and the meeting needed to go on. Jay and Chris objected. Drew lashed out, saying if both of them didn't F off, that is exactly what would happen, as the officers had already agreed that distractions to the meeting would be sent to a waiting room. At this time, Drew sent both Jay and Chris to the waiting room. While in the waiting room, texting each other, they decided to go to WSO and ask them to intervene, and I can't see the bottom, and ban Drew from the meeting. Next slide. Anybody feeling triggered? Okay. Jay? Jeff?
Okay. So now the breakout room guidelines. First, you will need a note taker and a reporter for return to the main room. This can be the same or two different people. We'll also need a timekeeper to limit shares to 1 to 2 minutes. It is best to avoid sharing a second time throughout the 30 minutes. Have those who have not shared go first if sharing a second time. And your facilitator will present the working scenario in the chat. You will receive a 3-minute end of breakout session notification.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. So we are going to be sent to the breakout room, and you will just be, our host will just be sending you to one, and then one of us will be in the room with you to review what you're going to need to know about, you know, your note taker, your reporter, and your timekeeper. Okay. Are we ready?
No, not yet.
Okay. We should mention that the breakout rooms will last for 30 minutes.
Thank you.
yeah, it's it just 43. Says where the people wow. were.
Oh, yeah. I see. Very good.
Everybody's set.
I see us.
So, Justin, could you next slide, I think.
Sure.
Thank you.
And that's Jeff. Jeff is up.
All right, so welcome back, everybody. Main room sharing. The designated breakout room person, the note-taker or reporter, will have 3 minutes to share the solution-based responses from their group. You may submit your solution-based responses to meeting-safety@adultchildren.org to be posted with the recording when available. During open sharing, we have some questions that may be utilized. Please keep shares to no more than 2 minutes.
Okay, and then the next slide, before we go to the next slide, we don't need a slide up for the moment, and we can start with the each group reporting back on what they came up with. So room one. You're up. You have 3 minutes to share any solution-based responses or solution type things that you had. Who had group one?
I think that's us, isn't it?
Can we take the screen share off and so that we can see participants for right now? And Patricia is our room guru.
No pressure. So in response to the first question, how could an individual raise a question about something that's been changed without group conscience or discussion? We had a variety of responses. But I think it was fair to say that most people thought that an individual in that situation could raise it with an individual's discussion with other members, either after the meeting or various discussions that happen around the meeting. One example was in the parking lot. Some people thought that potentially could lead to gossip, but then equally others thought that that type of conversation was quite helpful to help formulate how people feel about things.
One second, Patricia, just to let him know, room one, your discussion was about making format changes. I didn't know if you mentioned that.
So I'm just replying to the questions as they appear in the chat.
Yes, about making format questions. Yeah. I mean, making format changes. Yeah.
Yeah. How could people address changes to the meeting without a group conscience? I think it was generally felt that really, really you couldn't. But in terms of making format changes, there was a number of examples that came up, which was firstly that things are clear and in the script, so that if for instance people have issues with the ways meetings run, there's at least a facility to call a group conscience or to raise a particular issue in whatever kind of form of communication that the groups have. Healthy way to change a format. I think probably everyone was fairly unanimous that it was by that you really couldn't do it without group conscience, because apart from anything else, you actually need to make sure that the minority view is heard. And I think that's basically a summary of our discussion. So the suggestions were that you have a form of communication where people can raise issues if they're concerned about the way that meetings run, or having in a script a facility to do that. So that was essentially the summary of where we got to.
Okay.
And part of the discussion was about being very clear in your format, everything, define everything, define distractions, define that anyone can call for a group conscience. I think everybody agreed that group conscience has to be held.
Yeah.
Okay, and then room two, Cheryl had that with being heard in a meeting was your topic.
Thank you, Erin. Yeah, we have Nadira who will present for us. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. Well,
Nadira, do you want to screen share or not? Because I would have to get permission and authority to do that.
It's okay. I actually took some notes of
great, super okay. Thanks.
Thank you. About the format, it was mentioned to leave those questions or issues until the end of the meeting. Experience, strength, and hope was shared around trusted servants displaying domineering behavior and just like some people get triggered by that. So whoever feels comfortable, like I shared my own experience of us discussing, like, it wasn't a business meeting, but about being a treasurer and the difficulties of being a treasurer, and someone was sharing their barriers to doing that, and multiple suggestions were offered, and this member continued to say, like, why those things wouldn't work. And I noticed that they were interrupting several members when they were trying to share. So I just said, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you so-and-so, but so-and-so was in the middle of speaking. Would you, I'd like to hear what this person has to say, and handling it that way. As far as how to be heard, someone shared, it's important to be heard by my loving parent, accepting my powerlessness over other people and accepting my feelings. When I processed my original pain through non-dominant handwriting, I was reminded I'm always safe and my inner loving parent is always with me. Something that also came up is that any ACA program should be good or strong enough not to repeat trauma in a room. And we've had several members share that they've been in clique situations where they've been scapegoated and pushed out, and they just try to take care of themselves and reparent themselves. Or find a different meeting, and that, no one has to go to any meeting that they don't want to go to. Others also shared about finding groups where there was mostly a benevolent leader, but possibly like other traits or personality things came up and they desperately needed support. So they decided to put up with it or stay in the meeting because they were worried about being ejected by another clique. So again, accepting it or leaving in that scenario. Someone else shared they like going to business meetings because you get to know other people and learn other skills that you have been able to come back to when conflict comes up, and like they see other people handle it very tactfully, and they learn a lot and develop so much socially and learn to speak up, and it's important to notice the improvement. And they also shared the real work doesn't get done until after conflict. It seems most were in agreement that exclusion is not appropriate, that group conscience should include all attendees. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. And then we have room 3, which was the escalating intensity and tone. And that was Jeff.
Yes, and we have Andrew, who took notes and will be presenting our findings. And I just want to honor everyone's courage in the group. It was a very tough topic dealing with escalation. So, Andrew.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm Andrew, ACA. We had some questions about healthy ways to address the reactive behavior and how to approach and how to handle the situation like that. I think some of the main solution-based things that we came up with is members shared their experience with in situations like this, they've paused the meeting, stopped, said the serenity prayer. That's been something that they shared. Also, a 60-second rule is something that came up. The member shared they've been in meetings where a situation came up that maybe was similar to the example that was posed in the beginning of when we were in the big group. And they said they've been in situations where in the meeting, the group took a vote to set aside 5 to 10 minutes to talk on that in the given meeting. And in that 5 to 10 minutes, when people would share from that, that those items would go into a business meeting at a later time. That's one way of addressing it in the meeting. Other things were being mindful of taking care of yourself in the moment, grounding yourself, keeping yourself present. Other things that came up were just remembering that business meetings and service, it can be some of the most challenging things, but there's wisdom and strength to be found in the traditions. There were some concerns raised over what's the best way to handle this is in terms of newcomers. If newcomers are part of the meeting and they are part of that space when a situation like this handles, how can we make sure that what we're doing isn't hard for them to where they never come back? I don't necessarily have answers for that, but that was raised. Taking your breath, reading the serenity prayer. And there were people that shared on the challenges on how to approach it. Do you approach as a group? Do you approach outside without fixing, without like a rescuer or mentality like that? So that was it. I'll pass on that.
Thank you. And room 4 was alliance and click-like behaviors. And Brad was our note taker and is our reporter.
Okay, I'm Brad. Okay, first thing is we suggested that you could suggest holding a business meeting in a couple weeks. If they refuse, be ready with your references from the BRB, such as section 3, the handbook section, when to hold a business meeting, or bring up things like concept 5, we maintain all levels have a traditional right of participation. If they're using technology in a bullying, controlling way, like you only have 60 seconds before you're put in the waiting room, you know, you may want to try something untraditional, like taking a see if they'll do a quick vote and see if they can show there's a lot of people who want to have a business meeting. And another thing is we talked about being willing to leave that meeting. On some other things we brought up, which are important pieces here, on the commitment to service is being willing to surrender the position. And that's number 8. Number 9 is that I'm a trusted servant. And then we also looked at which traditions could be useful to bring up. And one, our common Welsh affairs should come first. And two, our group purpose, there's one ultimate authority. And number 12, placing principles before personalities. An idea is to have a healthier meeting. We knocked that around a little bit. Looking for groups that have regular business meetings, being in practice, having a group conscience, even if there isn't a lot to talk about, is good. Rotating service, groups that do a group inventory. Some questions to ask of the group inventory is: Do we ask for a minority opinion? Do we have leaders in our groups? Personal questions when coming to a group conscience. What are my motives? Am I being reactive? Other types of things about maybe one person shouldn't own the Zoom meeting. Maybe it should be something that's from the inner group, or it should be from funds from group funds, and the Zoom host should be a rotated position. And finally, other domineering behavior we chatted about. We talked about ignoring timing, ignoring the timer, cross talking, assigning people tasks and business meetings without asking, sending unwanted emails or phone calls outside of the meeting, and just being argumentative in the business meeting and trying to not let anything get accomplished. And that was pretty much what we talked about. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. And then Alaska had room 5, hearing the group conscience.
Yes, I did. And Craig is going to be the reporter, and he was the note taker, I believe. Go ahead, Craig.
Thanks, Alaska. Thanks. First question we looked at was, the question was, if a member repeatedly thinks or feels they cannot be heard in a group conscience, what avenues does that member have? How can they move toward a solution? So we had quite a lot of answers to this, including they can obviously speak up, encourage others to speak up, asking others, using empathy. It talked about looking at people's bodies, body language, and trying to intuit what people are feeling. They could obviously leave the meeting. A lot of what has already been said about self-care, keep yourself safe. Obviously ensure that the traditions and concepts are explored and learnt in the group conscience, talking about a phone list and encouraging people to get to the group conscience so that they can get their voices heard, build a community to empower. So it's all about encouraging others. And then, yeah, just keep on going back to asking how I feel. Do I want to be part of this group? This is my recovery. Do I stay? Do I leave? Next question, in the presence of domineering members, how would a member raise a concern? So obviously speak up, group to, you know, get obviously group members, more members to speak up, and then obviously going to intergroup, going to the WSO. Next one, when members feel unable or uncertain about speaking up, how do we empower one another for all opinions to be heard? Again, similar, you know, encourage, empower one another. You know, it's quite a lot of similar things that we felt. Solution-based was our final one. Again, speak up, say I don't feel safe. And there's, you know, there's a feeling that if long-timers have domineering sort of power in the group, that can be awkward to challenge. How does one challenge that? Again, it's tricky. And, you know, we just talked a lot about, you know, around, you know, different experiences, but, you know, it's good, but it's tricky. So I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So we have the next slide, which is open sharing questions. And I'm going to add a couple other questions to this. And one of those to think about, certainly number one, what are the other types of domineering behaviors in meetings? And I'm going to have Jeff read this off, and then I'm going to give you two more questions that you might want to share on.
Okay, open sharing questions. One, what are other types of domineering behavior in meetings? Two, what traditions could be applied to address domineering behavior? Three, does having a personal Zoom account for the meeting weigh into the problem scenario we discussed? Or what circumstances would it make using a personal Zoom account for a meeting acceptable or unacceptable? Four, does your group have any safety statements regarding domineering behaviors in meetings? Five, what self-care could a member employ after becoming agitated as a result of being unheard during a meeting? Six, what questions could a group ask itself to inventory domineering behaviors? Seven, what could your group do if an issue doesn't seem to be resolvable inside the group?
So two other questions that came up after we had done the slide was, one, what types of things would you put on a healthy meeting checklist? So if you were going to go to a meeting, what would be the things that you would want to know were happening at that meeting? And then another question is, in terms of number six and inventorying, when we think about domineering behavior, as I kind of alluded to in the beginning, you know, sometimes it is domineering behavior, and sometimes it can be our perception of domineering behavior if I'm coming from having authority issues. And a lot of times what my experience has been is there can be a person who has a lot of the resources, knows a lot about, you know, how a group can run, and that person gets perceived as an authority, even though they may not be being an authority, and then those types of triggers. So how do I keep myself in check for when I might be the person who is perceiving domineering behaviors that may or may not be there? Like, and for me, I'll just kind of answer that from the beginning. One of my things was a sponsor that used to always say to me, check my motive and then look at how reactive I'm being. And if I'm really being reactive, what are the feelings underneath that? Because what are the feelings under my motive? Because I may think my motive is pure, but if there's a lot of intensity underneath it, there may be other things going on. So that's my answer. But now we're gonna open share. And I forget, Alaska, how are we gonna call on the open sharing? Was Justin gonna do it or Alaska? And I think we will probably time this to, how much time do we have left here?
We've got plenty of time. So we could just do raise hand sharing and call on people. And did you want to do 3 minute or 2 minute shares, 3 minute shares?
I think two would be good.
All right. I'll do the timekeeping.
If I'm not being domineering.
2 minutes. So yeah, so just raise hand sharing. If you want to share, just raise your hand. I'll call you in the order that your hands are raised. All right, Julianne, would you like to start us off?
Yes, thank you, Alaska. There are two things that are critically important to me when I'm looking at joining a new group. One is, how frequently do they have a group conscience and or business meeting? And the second thing is, how often do they do a group inventory? Those are two things that I look at. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Julianne. All right, so the floor is open. Is something else that maybe we can talk about is, you know, reviewing the questions that we had in our individual rooms, expanding on those answers or anything maybe. Anya.
Hi, hello. I would like to share something about actually the last question. So my group actually was created during the pandemic. So there was online meetings on Zoom. And that one was actually created by a very experienced person who was a member of like face-to-face meeting. So then she opened that group and she had lots of knowledge. She, like there was mentioned, so she had an idea what to do and how to do really. And then because of her informations and her knowledge, I know that many people actually started to think like she is running the group, like she is kind of the boss of the group. And I have to say, no one actually ever said something like they are not happy with it or they are against this. And even if I know that wasn't her idea to be a boss of the group. But I know that there was a meetings and if there was a subject, no one wanted to actually start sharing until actually that person who created the group start sharing her story. And then there was comments like, oh, what we should do about this? And then everyone was like, oh, so tell us, Agnieszka, tell us, what do you think about this? And I remember she was always kind of backing up and like, no, it's not my decision. We have to actually talk, between everybody. We have to make a vote to do any changes. So that's kind of like showing me like the perspective of if that person is actually dominating the meeting, or I think that person is dominating the meeting. So that's my experience. I never thought myself she's dominating the meeting, but I'm sure that the thing that she was actually running it most of the time was kind of very easy for other people. So they used that situation to maybe don't get involved too much. Yes, this is how I see it. So basically now she's encouraging more people to actually chair the meeting, to run the meeting, host the meeting. And she's trying to back off now because
I feel. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Kathy, would you like to come in?
Thank you. Our group to number four does have in the format a reference to safety statements that are collected in a binder, and our group does meet face to face, but it can be done in a chat as well. So that even saying, which we do, one could look at these resources in as a way to stay safe in 12-step meetings. And sometimes when we took a look around the room, people are like, oh, that's a thing. And I can see on their face like, oh, I didn't even think about it from that perspective. So it's good that to be able to say something like that at the beginning of the meeting and say, we have a resource for that. And as far as as business meetings are concerned, I'll just add that we have in our face-to-face a clipboard so that, and we mention the clipboard every week so that if someone wants to add something, now a clipboard could be in the chat, but if you have a question or an issue you'd like to bring up, put, you know, make a note, and then that way other people can start to see what's going to be brought up and then be inspired to maybe bring up something of their own. That's it. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy. Hi, Amber. Would you like to share?
Hey, thanks so much. And thanks for everything that everyone else has already shared. Just a couple of things that I have noticed that I try to keep an eye on is with regard to business meetings, how often does the business chair rotate? And also, does the business chair interject in between people's statements, or do they share like once per topic and otherwise keep things in order? Because I've been to meetings, business meetings, where the chair comments between everybody's shares or many of the shares. And that to me tends to contribute to a feeling that perhaps this person might lean towards domineering behavior on a bad day. And that's a big red flag for me. And also how often they rotate. I think I said that already. And then during the actual, like during the meeting, like a regular meeting, does the person who's moderating or chairing comment in between people shares? Like it's, I have trouble attending meetings where that happens. I don't like to feel like the moderator is an MC. It's just a big turnoff for me because I worry that they're going to crosstalk and say comment on something that I've said. And I end up just leaving those meetings. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Pass.
Alaska, you're muted. Michelle?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to unmute. Sorry about that. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle Dunbergen, ACA. In regards to question number four, our group has a safety statement in regards to crosstalk, but can be also used and also states any other safety concerns where they can either contact the host, the co-host, or an email that they can write to if they don't feel comfortable speaking with the co-host or host. So that's one thing. My home group, the 8 a.m., has adopted a rules of Robert's Rules of Order shortcut sheet that has helped significantly in regards to the time of motions, how long they go on, and the order in which the motion is discussed. That has also helped so far. We've been incorporating it, now it's official. The other thing I'd like to discuss is the authority figure by having reference information that people are looking for being resource coordinated. I find myself in that position in other fellowships. It was a very hard lesson to learn, but what I have done is I keep referring it back to the fellowship. I have one person, I was recently elected to a service position, and I have one person in particular who keeps treating me like a queen, and I've actually had a one-on-one conversation with them, asking them not to do that anymore, and that I am simply a trusted servant, and I am carrying the message that the meetings want to share. So I keep referring it back to the membership. And if somebody continues, I have a one-on-one with them. So thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Hi, Autumn, would you like to share next?
Hi, thank you. Thanks everyone for your service. This is such a helpful experience. In our group, I'm chairperson in a meeting, and when I took up the position of chairperson, the chairperson not only moderated or read the script, as in the straightforward spiritual meeting, but also the chairperson then went on. We voted in having a monthly business meeting for the health of the group, but the chairperson also oversees that in our meeting, and I put in a proposal for us to discuss, and we've started discussing getting, you know, we have a treasurer, we have a co-treasurer and so on and so forth, and co-hosts, but what our meeting doesn't have is an admin stroke secretary, so someone to and we were talking about how that would be extremely helpful to have the admin stroke secretary oversee the business meeting. Otherwise, there's the chairperson is doing the spiritual meeting and it runs into the business meeting, and the chairperson is also overseeing that. And it is, it's, I find it uncomfortable. But so that's one thing. That's one thing that we've brought up in our meeting, or I brought it up in our meeting with it. And the other point is, I think it's really what we're really good at in the meeting, what we've become focused, like a healthy thing that we've brought into our meeting is, we talked about it from the Big Red Book, is hearing the minority vote. So making absolutely certain that if someone has shared and then someone else shared, that then the person before doesn't come immediately and sort of share and so on and so forth. So it's not just batting between two people, but we do a hands raised, and invite everyone, regardless of opinion, to come in and state, you know, and it's we're very time. Clear about
Thank
that.
You.
Thank you. I'll just say we're very clear about that, and the minority does get heard before any sort of vote is taken. Thanks.
All right. I want to thank everybody so far for sharing. We'd like to close the meeting, and then Jeff is going to read off some resources that we have listed that I think you might find really helpful. And then if there's availability, we may be able to stay on for another 10 or 15 minutes and hear some more shares. Okay. And there's our seventh tradition slide. Please consider making a seventh tradition donation at adultchildren.org/seventh tradition. Every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Your contribution is a critical part of maintaining WSO service and delivering the message to the adult child who still suffers. Okay. And I want to say a thank you to all of our presenters and our tech hosts, to Brad, to Justin, to Alaska, and then for those of us who created the workshop, myself, Alaska, Dove, Kathy T, and Jeff, and Cheryl for coming in at the last minute to help us out. Okay, and let's have a moment of silence for safety in our meetings. And with that, a nice deep breath, and we will then begin with the serenity prayer of your choice. Let's begin. Higher purpose, grant me the serenity.
People cannot change.
Courage to change
the one I can.
And the wisdom
to know that one is me.
You can mail your email us with your safety statements or any of your notes that we may format to be on our webpage at Meeting and Service Safety. And then Jeff is going to read off our resources.
Okay, so some of the resources are the Big Red Book, pages 557 to 620, Handbook for Adult Children. The Suggested Commitment to Service, BRB, Big Red Book, page 601. The 12 Traditions and 12 Concepts. Best Practices at the URL, acawso.org, category Best Practices. ACA Boundaries Presentation Best Practices. And see the acawso.org ad hoc meeting and service safety for the recording and solution-based submissions in the next couple of weeks. There's also a Wednesday, 12:30 Eastern Time, a commitment to service online meeting. And you can contact us at meeting-safety@adultchildren.org.
Thanks, Jeff. I'll just elaborate a little bit on the Wednesday, 12:30 commitment to service meeting. That was an idea from the Meeting and Service Safety Committee that was put together. And it's a meeting that has topics all related to service. So
I posted the information for that meeting in the chat as well.
Okay, thank you.